And he said this former treatise, and then he said to Theophilus. In Luke chapter 1, verse 3, it said, "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things, from the very first to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus." So in Acts chapter 1, the author says, "I wrote a former book to you, Theophilus." And that former book to Theophilus, of course, was the Gospel of Luke. Now we see Luke writes a second book, which is a continuation of this first book that he had written. Luke wrote the book of Luke, and now we see that he has written the book of Acts also. So it's a continuation of what he had begun writing in the book of Luke. Matter of fact, it says he wrote in the book of Luke of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. In the book of Luke, or in the Gospel of Luke, Luke wrote what Jesus began to do and teach. So Acts then is a continuation of what Jesus began to do and teach. So we could say that Luke is the book that tells what Jesus began to do and teach. Acts is the book that teaches what Jesus continued to do and teach through his people. And so that's what we'll look at then in the book of Acts, is what Jesus continued to do and teach through his people. Jesus had lived upon this earth and had died. And then after 40 days, after resurrecting from the dead, he ascended up into heaven. Then he says, "I want you to wait and tarry here because you're going to continue doing what I did." Jesus' ministry was not finished at 33 and a half years of age. Jesus' ministry continued through his people, and that shows us in the book of Acts. We see in the book of Luke what Jesus did while he was here upon this earth, and now we see in the book of Acts, Jesus now leaves the scene, and Jesus tells his people to continue doing what he had done and what he had come to do while he was here upon this earth. What is it that Jesus came to do? Look, if you would, in 1 Timothy. Chapter 1 and verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world." Now here we'll find out what Jesus came to do. "Came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So Jesus came to this world to save sinners. And that's what every one of us need to realize, what the purpose of Jesus was when he came to this earth. His purpose was to get people saved. That was his purpose. So it wasn't the purpose of Jesus just to come down and to heal the sick. No. He did heal the sick, but his purpose was to save sinners. It would have been no good to heal the sick and watch them die and go to hell. Would have done no good. He came to heal the sick, but for one purpose, to get people saved. Jesus didn't come to this earth just to feed the hungry. Now, he did feed the hungry. One time he fed 5,000 men. Another time he fed 4,000. And he did feed the hungry, but that was not his purpose. He fed the hungry for one purpose, to save sinners. Everything that Jesus did, he did to see sinners saved. If you would, look back at John chapter 3. Verse 17 said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Jesus came to save sinners. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." The purpose of Jesus Christ was to save sinners. That was his purpose. The reason that Jesus came was to get people saved. So now we see Jesus came to this earth. We see both what he did and what he taught. What he do? He came to save sinners. What he teach? How people can come to Jesus. That's what he did, and that's what he taught, and that's what we see in the book of Luke. Now in the book of Acts, we see what he continues doing, even though he's left this earth. He continues doing it. How? Through his people. Jesus' purpose today is the same purpose he had when he walked upon this earth. The purpose that Jesus has right now is the exact same purpose that he had when he was here and walked upon the shores of the Jordan and the Sea of Galilee and walked through the land of Judea. The same purpose that Jesus in heaven has that he had when he walked upon this earth. And that purpose was to save sinners. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, how is Jesus doing it today? It's the same purpose he had when he walked upon the earth to get people saved. How is he doing it? He's continuing it through his people. Look in John chapter 20. and verse 21. John 20, verse 21 said, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me." Now, why did God send Jesus? We've seen that God sent Jesus to save sinners. That was his purpose. The one purpose for Jesus Christ upon this earth was to get people saved. So he said, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." So what are you saying? He's saying, now God sent me to get people saved. God sent me to get people out of hell. Because every one of us are sinners, and every one of us deserve hell. And God sent Jesus to save our souls from hell that we can go to heaven. You see, we deserve hell, but we don't have to go to hell. We can choose heaven. Why? Because Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And Jesus set his life like a flint towards Jerusalem for one purpose. Why? To die for the sins of the world. He came to save sinners. And then he said, "Even as a Father has sent me, so send I you." If Christians have their eyes off of the one purpose, we can do a lot of good in this world. But if we're not doing what God has sent us to do, we're spinning our wheels, we're wasting our time. Because the one thing that Jesus came to do is to get people saved. That means everything that we do ought to be done to get people saved. I mean everything. The way you dress ought to be done to get people saved. Everything we do ought to be done to get people saved. Because that's what Jesus' purpose was here, and that's what our purpose ought to be also. Everything we do ought to be done to get people saved. Look in John chapter 17, verse 18. It says, "As thou hast sent me," Jesus speaking, "into the world," how has God sent Jesus into the world? To save sinners. "Even so have I also sent them into the world." Jesus said, just like God sent me into the world to get people saved, I am sending these into the world to get people saved, those that have followed Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 12. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do," he that believeth on me, talking about those that are saved, "the works that I do," what works did Jesus do? He came to get people saved. "Shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Jesus said, you can even get more folks saved than I did. That's what he's saying right there. He said, I came into this earth to get save sinners, and now you can do greater works than what I did. Jesus was saying, we can do greater works than even what he did while he worked upon this earth. How do you do that? Get more people saved. And that's what he sent us to do, was to get folks saved. That's our purpose. That was the purpose of Jesus, and that's the purpose of every person that's a follower of Christ. Jesus said, I want you to continue doing what I did. I walked upon this earth to get people saved, and I want you to continue doing what I did. And that's what's so exciting about the book of Acts now. Now we see what Christians are supposed to do. Now Jesus said, here I've sent you to do, and if you just follow the book of Acts, you'll find out how we're supposed to live. You'll find out what a quote-unquote New Testament Christian is supposed to do. You just read the book of Acts. And you find out what they did, and you can find out what we're to do. As you read through the book of Acts, you'll find very quickly that the theme, basically, of the book of Acts is obviously getting people saved. I mean, it started out with getting 3,000 people saved. It started out that way and got better from there. I mean, the whole book, people got saved. I mean, every chapter, people are getting saved in the book of Acts. That's the whole purpose of it right there, just getting folks saved, getting people out of hell. And that's the greatest work that anybody can do upon this earth, is to get one soul out of hell and get them into heaven. How? Introduce them to Jesus. Just bring them to Jesus. And if we can bring people to Jesus, Jesus can do the rest. We just need to get folks to Jesus. And that's why Matthew 28:18 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." That's why Mark 16:15 says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's why in Luke 24:48 it says, "And ye are witnesses." John 15:16 says, "I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." Why? Jesus is saying over and over and over again, I came to get people saved, and that's what I'm sending you to do. go out to get folks saved. The key phrase of the book, look back at Acts chapter 2. Verse 4 says, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 4, verse 8 says, then Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Look in chapter 9, verse 17. It says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, you read through the book of Acts, you'll see that the Holy Spirit of God is seen over and over and over again, working in the lives of men. And it teaches how men are to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Or be filled with the Spirit. And that's basically the key phrase, is filled with the Holy Ghost. And all through the Bible you find out where Christians are to be filled with the Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit. And as a result of that, we see the key word back in Acts chapter 3. Verse 20 says, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Chapter 4, verse 2 says, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Chapter 5, verse 42 says, then daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. In chapter 8, verse 5, it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Verse 25 says, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem. In verse 35, says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him, Jesus. Verse 40 says, but Philip was found at Azotus and passing through preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. You find out one of the key words in the book is the word preached. That's just up to the first 8 chapters, but you can go on and preached and preached and preached all through the book. You find preaching in the book of Acts. By the way, if they preach in the book of Acts, we ought to be preaching today too. Still need preaching today. And it's by the foolishness of preaching that God will save some. And we still need preaching today. One of the key words is the word preach. Another of the key words is the word, by the word preach or preached or preaching. The other key word is the word witness or witnesses. Over and over it says, you are to be witnesses of me. Beginning in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And verse 22, chapter 2, verse 32, chapter 3, verse 15. And on through the book we see that we are to be witnesses. So here's the key phrase. Filled with the Holy Ghost, or to be filled with the Spirit. The key words are preach and witness. By the way, that's always what follows being filled with the Holy Ghost. A person who is filled with the Spirit will preach and witness. That's basically just getting the gospel out. That's what it's all about. All through the book of Acts, we see people getting saved. How did it happen? Because they had some witnesses that were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how it happened. You get filled with the Spirit, and you'll preach, and you'll teach. We have many walking around today saying, well, I'm filled with the Spirit. And they go off and speak in some unknown tongue or something. You can't show me where the Bible says that. That's what, all the way through, you'll find 3 times the book of Acts that they spoke in tongues. You'll find dozens of times where they got people saved. And by the way, every time they spoke in tongues, people got saved. Every time. That, by the way, the tongues that the Bible's talking about is not the tongues that people are talking about today. The tongues in the Bible were languages. And we send out people speaking in tongues. Well, we support 5 people that speak in tongues. We have one that speaks in Mexican. We have one that speaks in Australian. And we send missionaries out across. Well, they have to go learn their tongues, but they speak them. They speak Bible tongues, speak another language, and that's what the Bible's talking about there. But they were filled with the Spirit. They preached and they witnessed. They got folks saved. So, basically, in the book of Acts, we see this. Acts is a continuation of the book of Luke. Luke showed what Jesus began to do and to teach. Acts shows what Jesus is continuing to do and to teach through his people. Jesus came to save sinners. We are to continue doing what Jesus came to do, and that is to save sinners. We are to get people saved. In the book of Acts, we see that they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And therefore, we as Christians are to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. In the book of Acts, we see that they were, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, they went out and preached and witnessed. Therefore, those that are filled with the Holy Spirit of God today will go out and preach and witness. That's simply getting the gospel out, getting folks saved or getting people to Jesus. The key verse is this, Acts 1:8. Look at it. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. See it right there again. The Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now here's what we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We see basically the key phrase and key word again. The Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. See those same things again. Now we know that in the book of Acts, we see we are to continue doing what Jesus did. We're to continue getting people saved, just like Jesus did when he was here upon this earth. Now, in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we not only find what we are to do, but where we are to do it. And that's what Acts chapter 1, 8 shows. It shows first what we are to do, and then it shows where we are to do it. And so basically gives us the outline of the entire book. The job of the church was to carry the gospel. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 tells the church where to carry the gospel. So here's the outline then in the book of Acts. It's outlined basically in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And we'll give you the outline that's written down here. The outline of the book. First of all, number one, witnessing in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem." So they were to begin in Jerusalem. That was number one. And we find that in chapters 1 through 7. In chapters 1 through 7, we don't see one foreign missionary. In chapters 1 through 7, we don't see one person going outside of Jerusalem soul winning. All the soul winning took place right there in Jerusalem. And that was what God's command was. He said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem." And so that's where the great Pentecostal revival took place there, was in Jerusalem. 3,000 people were saved, and then it says people were added unto them, and then it says they were multiplied unto them, and thousands and thousands of people got saved right there in Jerusalem. Before they ever went and knocked on another door in the country, they knocked on the doors in Jerusalem. Look, if you would, in Acts chapter 5, verse 28. It says, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Notice they filled Jerusalem with this doctrine. And so in Acts chapters 1 through 7, we see the church stayed in Jerusalem. They didn't take the gospel outside of Jerusalem until they had filled the city with the gospel of Christ. And then look in verse 42. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." So they stayed right there in Jerusalem until all of Jerusalem was filled with that doctrine. Didn't leave Jerusalem until everybody in Jerusalem had heard the gospel. And they didn't leave Jerusalem until every house in Jerusalem had gotten the gospel. You see that? They filled Jerusalem. And then they went to every house in Jerusalem. And that's what God's command was them for them to do. Get the gospel preached in Jerusalem, first of all. So that's what they did. Chapters 1 through 7, they got the gospel out in Jerusalem. By the way, you're not a missionary-minded church or missionary-minded people if you send missionaries out and don't reach your community. That's not missions. Missions is reaching Jerusalem first. It'll do us no good to send somebody off to some foreign land and not reach the people in our own city. It would do us no good. If a church is truly mission-minded, you can support hundreds of missionaries, but you're not Bible unless you're winning the people in your town, win the people in your community. And that's what they did first of all. Chapters 1 through 7, they knocked on every door. They went to every... They didn't miss a single house in all of Jerusalem. And if we're to get the gospel out, we're not just to send money to some foreign missionary. We're to knock on every house in Fulton. And that's what our job is to get out in every house and fill Fulton with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We haven't done our job until everybody in this town knows how to get to heaven. We haven't done our job until everybody in this town knows that Jesus died for them and how they could receive Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, how they could be saved from hell and have eternal life. Our job is to get the gospel out in our Jerusalem. And our Jerusalem is Fulton, New York. What we need to do is we need to spend our time getting the gospel out
in this community and to reach this community for Jesus Christ. We've got to find somehow, some way of introducing Jesus to every person in this town. And that's first of all what they did, witnessing in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. Look at Acts chapter 8 verse 1. And Saul consenting unto his death, and at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were, by the way, not everybody's going to understand you going out knocking on every door in Fulton. They didn't understand it in Jerusalem, and they're not going to understand it here. But you're supposed to do it anyway. That didn't stop them from going out. So, well, people are going to be unfriendly to you. Well, we're not here to please people. We're here to please God. We're just going to go out and tell people what Jesus said. It's their choice. You know, they can choose heaven or hell, but we've got to give them the choice. We've got to show them how they can go to heaven. You can't make them go to heaven. You can't drag them there, and God won't. But we can go out and tell them how to get there. And go from every house and fill Fulton with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Imagine there was, man. They made some folks mad. They knocked in some doors that didn't want to hear it. They went and said, well, we don't want to discuss religion. And they said, we're not here to discuss religion. We're here to discuss Jesus and how you can get to heaven. And some people got mad. They didn't understand. It's because they hadn't read the Bible. And there was great persecution. And they were all scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. So we see they went, first of all, to Jerusalem. And then in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, we see they go to Judea and Samaria. So they covered, first of all, their city. They covered their city till it was filled with the gospel. They covered their city till they'd go into every house in Jerusalem. And then they went out around Judea and Samaria. Then they took care of their state. And then they took care of their country. And went out through all, got the gospel out every place in their state. Took care of got the gospel out to their state, their country. And then, so then Jerusalem had been filled with the gospel. The gospel was carried to Judea and Samaria. And then thirdly, in Acts chapter 13, we see them sending foreign missionaries out now. Now they're leaving Judea and Samaria. And now they're going to other countries and carrying the gospel to other countries. Now that's true missions right there. True missions is reaching your town and reaching your state and your country and reaching the uttermost parts of the world. That's true missions. A church is not a mission church if they're only sending missionaries out. They're a mission church when they're reaching their community also for Jesus Christ. And we're to begin at home first and then get the gospel spread out as far as we can get it. We're to get everybody at home saved, first of all. You get the gospel to everybody at home. There are two main characters in the book of Acts. Of course, great sermon preached at Pentecost was preached by Peter. In Acts chapter 2, verse 14 says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." And we see the first part of the book, we see Peter is prominent in the book. And Peter was one of the great preachers and soul winners that's ever lived. We see dozens and thousands of people led to Christ by Peter's preaching and by his soul winning. And so we see Peter goes out, and Peter was basically the disciple to the Jews, basically. He was the soul winner to the Jews, primarily. Now God opened it up for him to go to the Gentiles also, but his ministry primarily was to the Jews. The second main character in the book, look in Acts chapter 9. Verse 17, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." So we see, first of all, Peter. And then we see Paul. who began as Saul, whose name later became Paul. The two main characters in the book are Peter and Paul. And Peter went out and preached primarily to those that were the Jews. And then we see Paul goes out and preaches primarily to the Gentiles. By the way, that covers everybody. You're either a Jew or a Gentile, and God got the gospel out to them all. To the Jews first, and then to the Greek. Jew first, and then to the Gentiles. And Peter brought, first of all, the gospel to the Jews. And then Paul got the gospel out to the Gentiles also. The gospel's for everybody. Talk to those who say, well, your church isn't for everybody. Sure it is. If you want to get saved and serve Jesus, it is. It's for everybody. Because the gospel's for everybody. The Jew first, and also for the Gentile. Now, it's not for people that don't want to be saved. Not for people that don't want to know the truth. But truth matter is, God died for Jesus died for everybody. And all can be saved. And so we see then the main character, Paul, Peter, two great preachers and soul winners for Jesus Christ. The theme of the book is this: witnessing for Christ. Witnessing for Christ. And that's what you'll see all the way through the book of Acts. From Acts chapter 1, verse 8, all the way to the end of the book, you'll see soul winning, witnessing, getting the gospel out. They got the gospel to Jerusalem, filled Jerusalem with its doctrine, got the gospel to every house in Jerusalem. And then they went out to Judea and Samaria. And then from Antioch, they sent out soul winners, missionaries, to the uttermost parts of the earth, getting the gospel out. Look at Acts chapter 28. Luke tells what Jesus began to do and to teach. Acts tells what Jesus is continuing to do and teach through those that are saved. Luke shows how Jesus came, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Acts shows how we as Christians are to go out and seek and to save that which is lost. By the way, you got to seek them too. Most of them aren't going to come to you. Seek and save that which is lost. And so we are to go out as Jesus did, and to seek and to save that which was lost. We're to continue doing that. So, preacher, that was for the people in the book of Acts. That was for the early Christians. The book of Acts never ended. The book of Acts is still going on today. Look at Acts chapter 28, verse 31. Well, verse 30 says, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him." The Bible doesn't say he preached, but preaching. Preaching. You know what preaching is? Present tense. Preaching. 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 And teaching. Didn't teach, but teaching. You know what that is? It means it's still going on today. Present tense. Teaching. Those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Doesn't say the end there, does it? I mean, it doesn't even end. Doesn't say, and Paul died. No, he's still teaching and preaching. It ends with Paul teaching and preaching. And it's still going on, teaching and preaching today. You are living. You know what the next chapter of the book of Acts is? The Grace Bible Baptist Church in Fulton, New York. And it ought to go on saying, teaching and preaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about right there. The early Christians spent their time getting people saved. Jesus came to this earth to get people saved. And the early Christians spent their time getting people saved. And we today are still living in the book of Acts. The book of Acts hasn't finished yet. It's not completed yet. We're still Acts Christians today. Book of Acts Christianity is still going on today. And we today should still be teaching and preaching those things that concern Jesus Christ. And that's what we at the Grace Bible Baptist Church should continue doing. Those things that Jesus did. The things that the early Christians did. And now what we ought to do. The theme of the book is witnessing for Christ. What's the theme of the book of Acts?
Witnessing.
And that's what we as Christians ought to be doing, witnessing for Christ. We saw in the first of the four historical books, we saw pictures of Jesus, of his life here upon this earth. We saw in Matthew Christ as what? King. We saw in Mark Jesus as what? servant. We saw in Luke, Jesus as what? Son of man. And we saw in John, Jesus as Son of God. Those are the things that Jesus began to do and teach. And now we see in the book of Acts what he's continuing to do and teach through you and through me as Christians as we go out and teach and preach those things concerning Jesus Christ. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray you'll bless us now. Be with this lesson today. Help us to leave this place with a greater desire to teach and to preach those things concerning Jesus. Bless us now during the preaching service. In a little while, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.